Hey, what is going on? It is Crypto Bobby. Today, I have a special interview for you lined up. It is with David and Garrett from Caspian. And Caspian is trying to tackle a unique challenge, and it's providing institutional and sophisticated traders and investors the right set of tools that they're accustomed to using and leveraging in the traditional markets, and giving them that same set of tools to trade in the crypto markets or the digital asset markets or whatever everybody wants to call this. And I've actually had the chance to meet David and Garrett in the past in New York. Solid guys. By the way, this is not a sponsored video. However, I am really interested in seeing how Caspian, and there's other companies that are doing this as well, but I am really interested to seeing how Caspian can develop this tool set, essentially this single system to allow institutional traders to start more heavily trading cryptocurrency and digital assets, because the tool set is just not available right now, or it's something that people are just developing on a one-off basis. So it should be really interesting to see how Caspian ends up working and kind of playing in the marketplace. I hope you guys enjoy this conversation with David and Garrett from Caspian. Let's go. Hey guys, well, thank you for taking the time to join me today. Really appreciate you guys taking the time out of your day, and want to just kick things off here with David and Garrett, a quick introduction on your end, your personal background. So I think that'd be really helpful to start with there, and then we can dive into what Caspian is actually doing and kind of get into some of the nuances here as well.
Sure, I'll kick it off. So my name's David Wills. I'm Australian, in case you can't tell. I live over in Hong Kong. I've been in Asia about 18 years. Prior to getting into blockchain and cryptocurrency, worked for a hedge fund called Oxif Capital, where I ran the trading desk and operations there for about 10 years, was a managing director in the office, traded mainly equity derivatives, index derivatives, a lot of options. Our focus was particularly Asia. Then got into this space about a year ago joined a company called Kinetic back in September of last year. We're a full-service blockchain and cryptocurrency platform. We do advisory services to companies looking to tokenize. We do investments and trading. We have an OTC trading desk. We run our own principal trading strategies. We have a number of fund products that we're about to launch. We build technology, Caspian being one of them, as well as doing partnering with another firm to do smart contract development. And we're very active in the community there as well. So we host conferences. We're doing a conference in July called Nifty, which will be focusing on non-fungible tokens. Nifty.gg for anyone that is interested in that space. Very heavily involved in the community. Garrett?
My name is Garrett Penwinkerton. Like Dave, I've been in Asia for a very long time, been close to 19 years. Most of it in Japan, although now I divide my Japan time evenly between Hong Kong and Japan. I have been running the Japanese office and also some of the product lines for a company called Tora. Tora is an OEMS, a cloud-based OEMS provider. OEMS stands for Order and Execution Management System, and our clients are hedge funds and prop desks for banks, and our systems basically allow them to access markets for equities and equity derivatives, and trade them and streamline their workflows. About 17% of all Japanese institutional trading volume flows through our system. We also have smaller percentages of other markets, and we also have a system for managing positions and risk for hedge funds as well. Prior to that, I worked for the Japan prop desk for Lehman Brothers, and after that for several hedge funds, mainly on the tech side, building sort of high volume trading systems and analytical tools for the prop desk and also for these hedge funds.
Sure. So you both obviously have a pretty significant background in the financial markets and the technology behind it. What's Caspian, and maybe from there we'll dive into, you know, why you feel like Caspian is needed in the crypto marketplace at this point in time as well.
Sure. So maybe I'll just sort of talk a little bit about the genesis of Caspian and then and speak more about the functionality. So when I joined Kinetic, became very clear that there was basically really no comprehensive technology solution for any sophisticated trader that was wanting to, or that was actively trading crypto. It's obviously a very fragmented space. There's multiple exchanges out there. I think some of the more sophisticated companies have built some of their own front-end solutions, but for the most part, people are using Google Sheets, API links into exchanges. There's a lot of manual entry when you're trying to, you know, capture P&L, profit and loss in your portfolio, both real-time and historically, and trying to do performance attribution, all the things that you really take for granted. Finance didn't exist in the space. So when I was thinking about how we were going to solve those problems for Kinetic, it became very clear that partnering with a firm that had already built out, you know, the infrastructure over many years and was very well established was probably the best way to go. Because really, we're, you know, not trying to reinvent the wheel here. We're just trying to create a solution whereby you can bolt on crypto as an asset class into existing trading technology to solve a lot of these issues. So hence, at that point, I reached out to Garrett, who I knew previously. And, you know, thankfully, Garrett, why don't you explain where you're at with your sort of crypto?
That's perfect. I and a number of other people in the company had sort of been as hobbyists, sort of market making crypto, writing some bots to trade crypto. And then, so we had experience in interfacing with exchanges. We knew sort of activity challenges. And then like last year, we had, you know, a number of clients who were interested in getting into the crypto space. We even had employees that, you know, clients of ours that were large hedge funds that had left to start their own crypto funds. And so we thought, well, you know, it probably makes sense to consider adding crypto as an asset class to our platform. I prepared an internal PowerPoint to sort of present internally. And that was pretty much the same week that David reached out to me, ready to give him, and it was, the timing was perfect. And
I believe they call that fortuity. So when I reached out to Garrett, we our teams got together very quickly, and it was very apparent early on that there was going to be some great synergies between the two companies. I think, you know, our heritage in the crypto space, we have some pretty long established roots. One of our co-founders, Jahan Chu, co-founded the Bitcoin Association in Hong Kong, set up the Ethereum meetup in Hong Kong. He's quite close to Vitalik Buterin, you know, knows a lot of the space and sure. Kinetic comprised of a lot of ex-traders who really are well-versed in trading strategies and trading systems. So combining that network experience with some of the core infrastructure and expertise that Tora had would seem like a great marriage. So hence Caspian was born.
So with Tora right now, you obviously have an existing platform that's for more traditional markets at this point in time. How much of that is actually, are you able to maybe kind of re-leverage for Caspian to trade digital assets, crypto assets, whatever you want to call them, on? Is that is it like an entire re-architecture of the system? I'm just kind of curious how difficult that might be, you know, as you're building something like this.
You know, re-leveraging all of it. We sort of, you know, to use a crypto terminology, we forked platform. We're running a different instance of it. But, you know, it's just like when we started Tora, initially there was only one product on the system. It was Japanese equities. And this was time ago. Then we added futures. That was, I think, the next, you know, for, you know, Nikkei futures. Then we started adding listed options, listed CDs, and then equities for every market on the planet, really. And then NFX. So we just see crypto as a logical extension of the platform. It's just a new asset class. So we're reusing all the technology. There are some tweaks we had to make. And like, you know, no other asset class has, you know, 8 or 9 digits, you know, of precision. And so that surprise, that, you know, we had to touch a lot of code to deal with that, you know, whether it's, you know, limit checking or display code. But other than that, you know, we were able to leverage the IP as it is and then add new IP and new code basically for crypto.
Sure. And one thing you had both touched on, I think, was kind of the demand for more robust institutional focused platforms. Can you talk maybe a little bit just about that? Is this something that you've seen maybe just in conversations? Is there, I've seen a lot, obviously, of discussions around custody, insurance, things like that, that institutional traders are kind of just larger, more professional individuals are looking for outside of the maybe just retail investors. Have you seen a very, you know, large amount of demand for a platform like this at this point in time? Is that something you feel like that the market is really asking for?
Yeah, definitely. I think as you continue to see the asset class institutionalize, certainly a lot of these technology needs need to be addressed ultimately. I mean, you mentioned custody. I think sort of regulatory framework, more visibility and clarity around, you know, regulations, custody, friendlier banks, as well as more robust technology solutions are really what the space needs to properly institutionalize. So I think by having a plug and play solution like Caspian, which really, you know, is able to capture a trade lifecycle from initiation through to settlement and reconciliation, have all of that feed through into the portfolio and risk management system, so you can see your exposure, P&L, et cetera, be able to generate reports for all the various internal and external stakeholders, be it portfolio managers, analysts, traders, along with, you know, various fund administrators, auditors, investors, or even if you're just a sophisticated trader that needs something a little bit more robust than what you might be using, something like Caspian is really resonating with a lot of the people that we're speaking with, because it's addressing a lot of the pain points that they experience on a daily basis, particularly the portfolio management system. I think what we've found is some of the more sophisticated, at least funds out there, have built an execution management system, but it's still very manual, trying to allocate those trades to specific client portfolios, etc. So having that seamlessly feed through into the portfolio management system has been something that's really resonated. And Garrett might have.
Actually, the demand for the PMS, the position management system, sort of surprised me, because, you know, my background was really writing bots that spoke, you know, that connected to 30 exchanges.
Sure.
That was a painful process. It's not rocket science, but it's just, you know, it's a tedious process. And so my expectation was that we offer a fund the ability to not worry about connectivity to 30 exchanges. That's what they would immediately want. And yes, there's a huge demand for that. But a lot of the guys, you know, they have a connectivity solution that works well enough for them. But what they're really struggling with is sort of the managing their positions in the P&L. And they're doing it in spreadsheets, and they're unable to provide an accurate historical spreadsheet, you know, snapshot at any point in time. And then when you have these funds, they're now looking at, some of them maybe getting external money, right? You know, a lot of times it was their own money, but then they want to have a more established fund. Those investors, the questions they're going to be asking are, you know, how are you managing your P&L, right? And so the PMS piece is, you know, it's been a surprising amount of interest in it. Which is great for us, because I think we're really sort of the only game in town right now for a PMS. There's some people that are working on connectivity solutions, and they
sure.
Various stages of development, but I don't think anyone has, that I've seen, has a PMS that you can use right now.
Sure. And so just hopping off that point too, you know, in terms of your roadmap, development wise, usability wise, if somebody wants to utilize Caspian in, you know, now or in the near future, what's the roadmap like in terms of somebody starting to trade on your platform and starting to, you know, handle orders through that? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So the immediate, you know, priority is getting every major exchange that, or even a minor exchange that any client wants to use on the system. And there's really two parts to that integration. There's the OEMS piece, which allows you to send orders.
Sure.
And there's also the piece that does reconciliation with the PMS.
Okay.
Those are two different types of connectivity. So that's our first priority. And you know, when I say connectivity, it means more than just being able to essentially place an order. It means that if, for example, it's two-way connectivity. So let's say that a client happens to use the web interface to do some of their trading, that should flow back into our system. Or if someone places an order through our system and then cancels it or amends it on the web interface, that needs to flow back. I mean, complete two-way connectivity. And so getting is, you know, so we'll have about 20 exchanges on the platform probably by the end of June. And we want to have another 20, you know, maybe by the end of July. And that's the immediate. Then the other thing is we have a set of algos, execution algos that we've built for the equity space. And we're in the process of porting those over to the crypto, to our crypto platform,
gotcha,
as well as a smart order router. And that's sort of the immediate roadmap. Longer term, we are very interested in integrating with distributed exchanges. We think that we could be a leading driver of liquidity to those exchanges. Mm-hmm. Ideas, but ways we can integrate them with their algos. We will be having a world-leading cryptographer join us as an advisor, and we expect that his expertise will help in this area.
Sure.
And that's sort of longer term in the roadmap. And then we have a number of other things which we're not revealing right now. Surprises.
And just to echo that, so right now we are with a number of beta clients.
Okay.
And we expect wide release will happen either sort of end of June, early July.
And as far as the clients go, I'm guessing, but definitely correct me if I'm wrong, it's mostly larger institutional, more sophisticated investors, and not as much on the retail side of the house.
It's definitely not a retail product. I think initially it will be OTC trading desks, crypto funds, sure, proprietary trading desks, but more sophisticated traders, anyone that, you know, trades crypto full time and really takes it quite seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, perhaps further down the line, we'll look at doing a product that's more retail focused, but phase one is really solving the needs of sophisticated traders. And,
sure.
And
that definitely makes sense. And as far as things go, just like single interface wise, I know that's, I'm just looking at the website right now, and that's obviously one of the big kind of aspects, and you've spoken about that, the ability to have OEMS kind of, the portfolio, or the profit management, compliance risk algos within it, all the reporting. What's kind of like the primary, I guess maybe you could, for anybody who's watching, listening to this right now, and maybe isn't familiar with like what the value is to having like a single integrated system for somebody, maybe it's like you said, an OTC desk or just a professional trader who wants to maybe trade on multiple exchanges. What would be like the value proposition or what is the improvement to having this all in one specific place on one single interface? What does that offer to somebody that, you know, not having to go to Binance and then GDAX and then Kraken would... Could you maybe talk a little bit about kind of that value proposition?
Sure.
You want to play this one?
Yeah, I mean, well, one thing is, you know, some exchanges have pretty decent interfaces.
Sure.
A lot of them sort of don't. And some exchanges have certain features that other exchanges don't have. So we have a very full-functioned OEMS. Like we, you know, you can configure the order book to look any way you want it. There's about four or five different ways that people like to see order books. And so if your exchange doesn't present it to you in that format, well, we can, right? We can also provide a composite view. So no exchange is going to show you liquidity of all their competitors in one order book, right? We can provide you a composite order book as well as a smart order router that basically lets you access that liquidity through one interface. Then there's things like, let's say you're running an OTC desk and you've got, 30 traders. If they're trading through the web interface, in some cases, exchanges will only allow one single login. So they can't see what other traders are doing. We also now have a way to do risk checks, where your risk checks don't just take your position on one exchange in your account, but they take your aggregate position into account. which could be very important if you, you know, if you have certain types of overall exposure, you know, limits or compliance, you know, requirements that you can't, that span multiple exchanges. So there's a lot, there's really lots of benefits, and these are some of them. I don't know if Dave want to add anything to that.
Yeah, I think just echoing those compliance features, you know, a lot of these proprietary trading desks, you know, might want to set certain risk limits for each traders, or, you know, might be around certain minimum liquidity that's required to trade in a coin. Or, you know, perhaps they're doing some self compliance and there needs to be certain restrictions on coins that they can't trade. So really importing all of those compliance features in is something as the industry evolves and does institutionalize more, I think becomes really important. That really you can't, you know, ultimately Caspian is a meta layer on top of all of these exchanges,
sure,
where you have a lot more functionality, as Garrett was describing, and control ultimately as well. You know, in terms of how you can trade on these exchanges, how you can batch orders in and amend orders, there's a lot more flexibility within how you can do that through Caspian, as opposed how you can do that directly with each exchange interface.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's I think great points. I think that compliance is really interesting, and yeah, like you said, the meta layer of compliance and a lot of the other aspects and functionality you're building on top of what's pretty simple interfaces for the most part that's provided by most exchanges, at least right now, that even if they might have an institutional element, they're still pretty retail focused, it feels like, to me at least. One question, and maybe not even as much related to Caspian right now, but as you're looking at maybe like increased institutional adoption in the future, I would imagine that's one thing that, you know, might be important for Caspian to grow and have success in the future is more, you know, institutional interest in the crypto space. Is there anything specifically that you see that is really kind of a requirement or a necessity to start bringing these larger players into the, you know, world of creating or trading digital assets or crypto assets?
Yeah, I think it's everything just maturing more, right? I think the points that I mentioned earlier around sort of issues of custody, regulation, liquidity, technology. I think it's just as more of the, you get more solutions matriculating in these specific areas,
sure,
ultimately more institutional money will flow in. I think a recent Reuters survey highlighted that 1 in 5 financial institution is looking at crypto, you know, setting up either crypto funds or crypto trading crypto. And you know, we're across the road right now from consensus where there's 8,000 people, and you know, the energy flowing through.
It's a lightly crowded conference right now.
It's like, you know, having previously, you know, prior to getting to crypto, going to, a lot of the conferences, that typically banks would host. It's, it is an unparalleled electricity flowing through these places. And I think the brain drain that's ultimately leaving, you know, like traditional finance to come into crypto, means that the institutional money will ultimately follow. So as we, you know, continue to experience more people and coming into the space, and, you know, more talented people, more amazing projects coming to light, you will more and more see the asset class itself really come into its own. It's, you know, obviously it's more than just a Bitcoin story than maybe it was a couple of years ago. It really is developing into a proper asset class.
And as far as the assets traded on Caspian, is it mostly Bitcoin and some of the larger assets at this point, or is that something you control, or is it more controlled on the exchange side of the house? I guess, can you talk a little bit maybe just about that functionality as far as what cryptocurrencies or assets their individuals are able to trade on your platform?
Our policy is simple. Any asset that the exchange supports, we will support.
Gotcha.
So connected to Binance, every single Binance token is supported. If you're connected to an exchange like BitMEX, which has a perpetual swap product and futures products, we support those. And we also know how to properly model them in our risk and position management system as well, and deal with things like, you know, futures expiry, for example.
Sure.
So that's our policy, and we expect that there will be a liquid options market and will emerge for cryptocurrencies. And when that happens, we will support that as well.
Great. And you guys just did a new update to the website, and I think released your white paper pretty recently as well. Would you mind talking a little bit just about if the progress, as far as I know, we've personally been having some conversations in the past, and I'm excited to see the progress you guys are making. But as far as just kind of publicly facing, where you're at right now, I know with the new kind of website and white paper, kind of what the purpose of that is and where you're going to in the future here as well.
Yeah, sure. So we're doing a pre-sale at the moment for a token that will basically serve a number of purposes. There are essentially three main purposes. So the first one will be users of the platform will be able to pay for their trading fees using the token. And if they do so, they will get a 25% discount on those trading fees. Also, if they stake tokens, they are able to get an additional 25% discount on trading fees, which is further detailed in the white paper. And then there'll be a third aspect, a dynamic discount model, which will release at a later date, which will effectively mean for some users they will be, depending on how much they stake, reduce their trading fees to zero. The second aspect of the token will be a governance module, whereby the top 15 stakers will be able to direct 25% of the development resources of Caspian. And the third aspect is, as we get more traders and developers onto the platform, we want to encourage them to build applications that would connect via API into the platform and use the token to incentivize such developers to do so. So right now, we're close to completing our pre-sale. We're doing it's a $50 million hard cap. We're doing approximately $30 million in our pre-sale. We have a number of strategic partners that either have been announced or will be announced in the coming days. And they're comprised of exchanges, decentralized exchanges, custodians, and other such parties. We're really looking forward, I guess, to the next month of, really growing the community. Releasing more information in the coming weeks through our Telegram group, which is Caspian_tech, TECH, for anyone that is interested in, looking at the platform and learning more about it.
And we're also obviously very much excited about getting out of beta and releasing the product to the rest of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. And when that happens, I guess, is that going to be just as simple as having some type of form or anything like that on the website where if you're a larger trader and you want to reach out to have access, you would just kind of contact you guys directly and potentially get set up if it's a right fit?
There will be some KYC because you need to know who
you're
with. And there's an onboarding process that, depending on the complexity of the client, can be very simple or it can take some time.
Absolutely. Totally makes sense. As far as maybe anything I didn't cover in today's discussion, was there anything maybe just in regards to Caspian, the platform itself, or anything really that I failed to cover that you want to, let people know about? Happy to, provide the floor over to you guys.
Yeah, there's one thing I want to say is, even though we have a graphical trading interface, we recognize that there are a lot of, trading firms who really trade algorithmically. We still think we have a very good value proposition for those firms because we can provide everything we do is fixed-based. We abstract every exchange as a fixed exchange, even if the exchange doesn't support fix. Mm-hmm. And provide one fix API with, it's basically through that fix API, you can trade on any exchange that we're connected to. We're also providing a unified market data feed and a unified product master so that allows quant funds who are writing their own algos for trading to focus on alpha generation and their algos and not worry about exchange connectivity or not even worrying about having a support team to support that connectivity 24/7.
Sure. Yeah, and just to echo that as well, I think it's the data collection through the system becomes really interesting for these quant firms where they are looking at you know, backtesting certain strategies, it can become a useful and convenient way to collect a lot of that data. So I think, you know, as we sort of think about the evolution of the space and what Caspian can ultimately do for the space is hopefully just provide a really robust segue for traditional money coming into the space, that, you know, with a product that looks and feels like something that they're very familiar with. And, you know, as we start to get, you know, much stronger, clearer regulatory frameworks, something that really has all of the necessary compliance checks in place that a regulator ultimately would be really happy with to see, because there are obviously concerns from regulators. And I think technology such as this addresses a lot of those concerns. So we're really looking forward to being part of the narrative as the space continues to grow. We get more sophisticated players in, and yeah, it's a very exciting project to be part of.
Yeah, I think, you know, the way you guys are positioned, obviously the experience you have in the combination of Kinetic and Tora, it should be really interesting to see how you guys continue to add to to the cryptocurrency world. And I do think that the product that you are looking to and delivering right now in beta, and I think that it's much needed for the institutional investors and more sophisticated investors out there. So I'm excited to see, you know, as products like Caspian get added to the mix, what that might mean for the rest of the ecosystem as well. And, you know, if that might result in kind of a, you know, trickle down to retail investors as well, leading to more sophisticated tools for retail investors in the future, and just kind of upping the game of the entire industry. Because I think, you know, tools wise and just resources wise, I think there's, it's definitely been lacking, and it'll be fun to see Caspian kind of continue to innovate in this space. And I'm excited for that.
Yeah, totally. As I wait.
Awesome. So I will, for anybody who's watching right now or listening on the podcast, I will link to the Caspian website below. It's caspian.tech. And then I'll put a link to the white paper as well. So definitely feel free to check that out and take a look at all of the details there. And I'll put all the contact information for the team if you are interested in learning a little bit more about the project as well. But I really do appreciate the time. David, Garrett, thank you so much both for kind of answering my questions and talking a little bit more about Caspian.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, guys.
Bye.
Bye.